The Jaguars have another big game and a chance to make a big statement, this time in Philadelphia. I'll talk to you about it in just a second here on Locked On Jaguars.
You are Locked On Jags, your daily Jacksonville Jaguars podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's going on, good people? It's game time. First and foremost, prayers to all of the people south of Jacksonville in Fort Myers and other cities that have had to deal with Hurricane Ian. Fortunately for Jacksonville, we did not get banged up very much. So I wanted to just say that PSA, that we're thinking about all of those folks affected and still may be affected from here on out. But it's Friday, and we're talking football here on Locked On Jaguars. We thank you for making us your first listen, reminding you we're free on all platforms. And it is your team every day here with Locked On Jaguars. So here we're going to do today. We're going to talk about this big opportunity that has presented itself for the Jaguars to go up to Philadelphia and for the second week in a row beat a team that everyone thinks is really, really good, therefore giving it more credibility. And we'll discuss that. We're going to get into the ins and outs of how exactly they can win this game and some of the players that actually need to step up and what it could mean for certain people. I'm going to make sure I emphasize that in segment three. Segment two, I'm going to talk about how it is to act like you've been there, even though you haven't. And I think that's what Jaguar fans are sort of learning right now. People got all up in arms because I said that I don't take it personally that people aren't picking the Jaguars to be the favorite. It's not the same thing as me saying that I don't think they'll win, because I actually did predict them to win the game. But I'm going to tell you why how they play is real, real important towards how they're going to, you know, proceed for the rest of the year. But first, just going to get right down to it, talking about how big this game is. We've discussed Doug Peterson. We've discussed, will it be revenge? Will it not be? Most people I talked to in Philly, and we did a crossover here, most people believe that he's going to get a round of applause. He's going to get, like Andy Reid. Andy Reid got a standing ovation from the Philadelphia faithful. I think Doug Peterson will do the same thing. Now, it doesn't mean they're not going to root for their Eagles to win, because they obviously are. They've had a good start to their season. We discussed early in the week how some of the challenges the Jaguars are going to have to overcome, and it's a lot of them because they're a really, really good team, with the main one being keeping Jalen Hurts in the pocket and making sure that the wide receivers don't get a lot of easy layups and big plays down the field. So all of those things are important. We'll talk about also what the Jaguars have to do on Sunday. So let's do that right now. Continue to do the things that they've been doing all year, with the exception of the first half of the Washington game, and that is efficiency on offense, efficiency on third down, get the other team off the field on third down, limit big plays, win the turnover ratio, and not get dumb penalties. So you said, well, basically what you mean, they have to play really good football all across the board. Yeah, that's pretty much what they're going to have to do. They're going to have to play really good, sound football across the board. But the reason why I don't want to overanalyze it is because, just like last week, there were some things that happened that we didn't expect. We sort of got to leave a little room for the unexpected, right? And that's when a team is super, super talented and you have this growth that you are anticipating because you're seeing and you're witnessing it firsthand. The problem is that sometimes when we get a little bit too robotic in our thoughts and we think, okay, they got to do this, this, and this, they'll up jump the boogie and surprise you and do something in a place where you don't expect it. They blew out the Chargers last week. No one expected that. That's why there was so much euphoria in the fan bases, because I had them winning a close game, 31-30. They won 38-10. So leaving that room for, oh my God, what can happen? I think we're safe if we do that. You don't have to worry about being vulnerable as a fan and leaving yourself open for too much disappointment. Because I think the way that this team is constructed, what they're going to do is they're going to show a good effort every single week. It doesn't mean that they won't make mistakes. Saw good two good teams play in Miami and Cincinnati. Both teams made mistakes. I thought it was going to be a high-scoring game. It was a low-scoring game. Game didn't go the way you thought it would. So this game is probably not going to go the way we think it is. But you like that as a Jaguar fan, and the reason why you like that now is because even if it doesn't go the way you think it's going to go, so far this year, things have still turned out for the good when they've been different than what we thought. You get what I'm saying? Like last week, mainly, I had no idea that they were going to hold the Chargers to 10 points. I didn't even think they were capable of doing that, and that's what they did. I want to discuss how being in the lead, and what I mean by being in the lead is the rabbit has the gun and the Jaguars are the rabbit. How it does, how we don't have to always think that they're going to be the favorites in order for them to satisfy us as a fan base. I don't think they're going 16-1. I'm not saying I hope that they lose tomorrow. In fact, I think they're going to win because there's only one team left in the league that's undefeated, and that's Philly. Losses are not necessarily things that end your season like in college football. It just doesn't happen. So I'm going to give you an idea of why I believe that the way that they play from this point forward, regardless of what the outcome will be, is the most important thing. And I know for them, they should think and they should say that winning is the most important thing. But for me, the observer, I'm going to talk about why I believe how they play is going to have a much more profound effect on how they finish up this year. It's real simple, too. Who's going to benefit the most if they go up and win that game tomorrow? I'm going to tell you somebody who probably, if I'm the team, I start talking contract extension with him right now, okay, if it goes the way I think it's going to go. Why should we not also listen and worry about whether or not other people think the Jags are the favorite? Doesn't matter. It goes back into what I'm talking about when I say how they play is going to be the most important thing. We're going to discuss all of that stuff in just a second here on Locked On Jaguars after I tell you about Brightco. And I got to first tell you about Brightco in this way. I've been the dummy that loses rings in the ocean. Also, I lost a very, very expensive diamond earring. I lost a diamond earring in the club. Don't ask me how. Look, it was my friend's bachelor party. I don't know what I did to lose it, but I wish I had known about Brightco when I did, because these guys at Brightco are geniuses. You can buy insurance for your jewelry, and it'll make sure you get a replacement for the full value of that ring, earring, pendant, chain, or whatever. They made buying insurance for engagement rings, watches, or whatever so freaking easy you can get it covered in 2 minutes on your cell phone. You won't find a better deal on great coverage that's super affordable. Bright.co/LockedOn. We all hate insurance, but these guys at Brightco turned the whole experience around, so it's probably the easiest thing you can do for yourself this week. No excuses. $5 a month, and you get totally comprehensive coverage, and it won't take you more than 2 minutes on your cell phone. Check it out at bright.co/LockedOn. All right, man, we're going to run through and keep running through here on a beautiful day on the weekend that the Jaguars go to Philly. This is a game that I circled and I was super, super excited about. I was excited once I found out that Doug Peterson was the head coach, because it's just going to be one of those games that's going to be good crowd noise, good energy, and I want to see how these young guys respond. I want to see how they respond. The environments don't get tougher than this one, in my opinion. The environments don't get tougher than this one. Why do I think they're going to respond so positively? It's because of who they are and how they play and what their identity is. and how they've gone out and done in the first half of the season, where the type of ball that they play is conducive to, quote unquote, no matter where you're at. And what I mean by that is you can be in a phone booth, you can be in a parking lot, you can be behind the school, you can be in the mud, you can be under a bridge, you can be in the middle of the ocean on a ship, and physical is just physical. Physicality and fight is just physicality and fight, no matter where you are. So you got some teams, I ain't gonna name them, but some teams, you know, they do a lot of trickeration and moving around and flea flickers and misdirection and leverage, and not Jacksonville. Jacksonville punch you in your mouth. The Jaguars punch you square in the jaw, and just when your head starts coming back around and you think you're going to take a breath, they hit you again. And that's what I love about this team. And that's why I think they have a chance to win the game on Sunday. That's why I have gotten to be to the point where I'm so optimistic about this game on Sunday. So why do I say that while winning is the most important thing, because that's the ultimate goal every single week, my focus is on whether or not they play like them, like their true self. Whether they, when they come out on the field, do they put their best foot forward for what they do? Do you come out and can you be yourself every single week? Because what's going to happen is most of the time, if you do that, you're going to come out victorious. Not just anybody, but a team that out-physicals its opponent at the line of scrimmage, the team that creates turnovers, the team that is optimistic, the team whose coach knows how to scheme up things to keep the sticks moving, the team that has two really good running backs that know who they are, the team that has a quarterback who is ascending to be one of the best quarterbacks in the league. What I want to focus on is, can they come out every single week and be who they are? Can they come out every single week against a loud crowd, against a lot of resistance, and just be the best version of themselves and play with confidence? That's what I want. So we've all called that in the past. We've called it having an identity. Sure, but once you have that identity, can you be that person, or can you be that group every single day? Can you give that effort? One of the things that makes me think they can is because their best players happen to also be the best leaders. And they're in the most critical positions. You got quarterback, you got guys who chase the quarterback that are your team, is this team's best player. You got physical offensive linemen, especially on that right side, along with Cam Robinson. And you got a bunch of nasty dudes up front, even the guys, I wouldn't even call them backups, the players that come in when they go to their sub package, they all play the way they speak. And that, to me, you can't have your best player be a cover corner and your quarterback can't throw, a la 2017. So the best players on this team are in the critical position. Your best player is a guy that touches the ball every single play on offense. Therefore, you're more likely to consistently be who you are every single week. And if you do that, and it's based on physicality, then you're more likely to have the same result every single week. And that's a W. So I'd much rather focus on that and focus on how they play. That's why, for me, and I know we're not in the moral victories, and I'm not that type of guy either, but I will say there is a silver lining. Even if they fall short in Philly, and it's a really, really, really good game, and you've seen games in the past other than Super Bowl, other than playoff games, because in playoff games it doesn't matter, because when you lose, you go home. But we've seen games in the past where we saw two really good football teams play, and we go, that was a good game. That was two really good football teams. That's what I want to come away with Sunday. That's what I want to come away with Sunday. I want everyone to look at the game and go, wow, those are two really good teams. Now, if I have my druthers, the Jaguars will be the team that wins. I want to show you something here before I start segment three and why I believe this week can be important for certain people. Those are the power rankings from week four. That's from Locked On. That's what we voted on. If you can't see it, the Jaguars are 14. 14. Those Chargers that they beat so poorly are ninth. The team that they play this Sunday, the Eagles, they're first. You see my point? If they beat them, that would be less people that are inclined to believe that this is not real. And it means the Jaguars would have beaten two teams ranked in the top 10 of the week four power poll. And as I look at that, I think the Jags might be favored over a couple more. This is the area and the territory you want to be in if you're Jacksonville. And you can be there even with a loss this week to Philadelphia. You can still be there. But we're going to leave room to win. We're going to leave room to win. I want to clarify something in segment three in just a second. One, I'm not a hater. I'm not a negative Jaguar fan. Somebody told me I was a negative Jaguar fan. Or a negative person, I covered the team so negatively. Can't be this year because I picked them to win a division, right? So it has to be from the past. So tell me, were the Jaguars historically bad in the last decade or were they not? So if they were historically bad, that means I'm not negative. I'm just telling the truth. So I'm sorry if somebody thinks that I'm too negative. Even though I picked them to win the division, I think Trayvon Walker was the best pick, number one overall. I picked them to beat the Chargers, and I picked them to beat the Eagles this week. I'm like, Tyrese, what do you want from me? If y'all really think that that's being negative, it's not. I'm going to give somebody a contract extension in just a second here on Locked On Jaguars. Rolling along here on segment three. The Jaguars go to 3-1. I can't tell you what it's going to be like next week. They beat Philly, and you start getting pundits on TV, start putting them in the top five of the power polls and the power rankings, especially if they do it the way that they've been playing the last couple of weeks. I'm going to tell you right now, isn't Philly people nervous? I know they're still trying to convince themselves, oh, it's just the Jaguars. No, it's not. They got some really good players, and one of them is a right tackle by the name of Juwan Taylor. It's amazing how we wanted to get rid of a dude. And you notice I said we, because at a certain point, I wasn't convinced that he was ever going to be great. Good thing that people who make the decisions know more than we do. Because I know, boy, y'all would hate to look up right now and Juwan Taylor's playing for somebody else, playing the way he's playing right now. And I know a lot of people don't look at offensive line play while they're watching the game. But the fact that you haven't heard his name called, you haven't seen penalties, and generally when he's blocking someone on that side, you don't see them make a play or have an effect on the game, tells you all you need to know about the year that Juwan Taylor is having. The press conference Monday, he was asked about it. I'm not going to harp on it. I'll let him tell that story, but he did say when asked, what's the difference between this year and other years? And he said, to paraphrase him, he's motivated. He lost his dad in January, and he dedicated everything during the offseason to making sure he had the best year he could ever have. And, man, is he doing it. Juwan Taylor, under no circumstances, do you allow a 6'5", 325-pound man that's about 26 years old hit the free agent market and leave. You don't even wait till that get to that point. Some people say, how can they keep him? They can franchise tag him next year if they want to. I restructure that deal right now. And I know some people are like, Wig, why are you doing that? Why would you do it? I try to do it now to try to get it a little, get not really a discount, but put money in his pocket right now. If you wait until the offseason and you have to franchise tag him, to me, that hurts the Jaguars because it decreases the amount of flexibility they have in the salary cap. If he wants to wait and take a risk, It's the same. It's almost the same thing as the Yannick Ngakoue deal, the one that Yannick did not take. I try to offer Juwan Taylor money right now. Sign him up. Deal with it. Worry about the cap at the end of the season. Give him a nice bonus and stretch that thing out over 5 years or whatever, so that it fits under the cap instead of him having to play for a franchise tag. I'd give him the bag right now. That's what I do. I'd give him the bag right now. Get that out of the way. Figure it out. And folks think that they can't keep guys like him and Josh Allen, who will be playing under a fifth-year option. Yeah, they can. Let me tell you about the NFL, man. The salary cap is not real, and money is found every single week. If they win, not even if they win, just as long as he plays the way he's been playing, whether they're 2-2, 3-1, I would start looking towards, because what you're going to get is this, and this is the other thing, if they play well and not win, or if they go and win the game, either one of those things, you're going to feel even better about where you are, because this is a real good measuring stick. And you can actually start doing what coaches and players don't necessarily do, but Trent Baalke, the GM, can call that agent, and you can start looking towards the future. You can start realizing the guys on the team, where you are, the trajectory that it puts you on, and you can start saying, no, we know who some long-term folks are here. Him. You're going to be able to start identifying those guys when the competition increases, but that effort stays the same. It's something else. Get them under contract. It was hard and hesitant. You were hesitant to do that before, because even though you had some star players, whether it was Jalen or whether it was Yannick, who was top five in everything, you know, since he'd been in the league in terms of pressure and all of that stuff, the team was still bad. So you could always get the argument from folks that said, yeah, but they're not winning. Remember when Maurice Jones-Drew led the league in rushing? Folks were like, yeah, they're not winning. The Jaguars have had some good players, but when the team wasn't necessarily winning, it felt like it wasn't no need to keep them. It didn't really make a lot of sense, but when you are winning and it gives you an idea of what your identity is that we talked about in segment one, and you realize there's going to be this consistent effort, that's when you can make the determination that, okay, this is real, this is tangible, this is who we are. Now we need to start keeping some of this stuff and adding to it, and eventually we'll get good enough to go ahead and challenge for a championship. It gives you a chance to get a little bit of a glimpse into who you really are, and you know you're not just having guys that put up numbers, and you're not just winning by, you know, you're not winning by luck. You're not winning because a ball bounced a certain way. You're winning with tackling, blocking, physicality, and that's something that you want to keep. There's a reason why I did that. One, when he talked earlier this week, I didn't want to piggyback too much off of his motivation about his father, because like I said, that's his story to tell. But I wanted to give it a few days, and then I wanted to bring it up. But then I actually do pay attention to what you guys tweet on social media. Someone said that we got to let him go because we can't afford him. We'll just plug Walker Little. The last thing you want to do is start thinking that you're going to let guys like Juwan Taylor leave this team. We need some lifers. The Jaguars need some lifers. Real quick, I do believe that they're going to go up to Philly and really, really make you proud. You're going to know that you got a good football team. And if they win the game, the whole world's going to know that you got a good football team. And then these guys will individually start being, they'll start really being acknowledged. They really will. All right, look, enjoy the game. On Sunday, we'll have the postcast on Sunday evening. I may go live. I'll let you know depending on what my situation and circumstances and my location. And then we'll have instant reaction as well as our Monday podcast. I think they're going to do it, man. I think the Jaguars are going to win. Anybody going up to Philly, make sure you have a really good time up there. And enjoy yourself at Xfinity Live right outside of the stadium. All right, till next time, you guys, make sure you take care of each other. And look out for the Peacock and Williamson football show. It is a great podcast with Brian Peacock and our own former NFL scout, Matt Williamson, and they give it to you like you can't get it anywhere else. Make sure you like and subscribe to the Peacock and Williamson NFL show. Take care, man. Hopefully the Jags come back 3-1. Next time you see me, we will be 3-1. I certainly hope so. Until then, you guys, take care of each other.